Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast and YouTube channel. Listen, make sure you subscribe today. You can go to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can go to our YouTube channel, True Underdog, or you can visit trueunderdog.com and subscribe to all of it.
Damn, 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 True Underdog. Damn, damn, unleash damn, the power within. Damn, damn, damn.
Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast. Underdogs out there, listen up. I've got my homie, my brother from another mother, my co-host, the man, the legend, John LeBlanc. How you doing, baby?
Doing great. Doing great. How are you doing, Jay?
Good. You like that damn intro, don't you?
I always like your intro, man.
Yeah, I tried to build that one up, dude. So you just got back from vacation. Where did you go?
I did Gulf Shores, Alabama. We spent some time down there.
Oh, boy. So
yeah, that's right. So
we got some listeners in Bama, baby.
we were there 6 days, and usually like I'm a good 4 or 5 day person, but 6 days went fast. You know, we had all the kids there and we did something every single day. And man, we had a blast. So we did some fishing, some go-karting, went out, beach, pool. I mean, a little bit of everything. It was great.
It's great.
Yeah.
Good reset, right? Everybody needs a reset.
It was a good reset.
You got your hat backwards, ready to kick some ass. I can already tell.
I am. So I can never take like completely. I always have to kind of keep one toe in. So I was able to do a little work down there, a couple hours here, a couple hours there, which was peaceful for me, right? When you're around kids all day long and babysitting at the pool, to get away and just kind of plug away at some work for a little bit was good. But yeah, I was able to just disconnect also. We had a pod right before I left, and you know, one of your tips was just be in the moment and be present when you can. And you know, I tried to exercise that when I
quality
could.
Over quantity.
That's right.
Quality over quantity. So it worked out good.
It has, yeah. I certainly had that nugget in my head the entire time, right? So when I was there, I was there. And when I wasn't there, I wasn't there and doing something else. So it was a good tip.
Well, that's good. Well, you know, today's show is an Underdog Bites, and it's Create Your Own Map. I've got my book. I've got 4 chapters done. You've got to read 2 chapters. Thoughts on the first 2 chapters?
I did read the first 2 chapters, and
The intro's solid, right?
The intro is solid. The intro will catch you right away. So that was one of my takeaways. And then, you know, I'm used to Jason Waller telling the story. So I would encourage folks to also listen to the podcast a little bit as they're sprinkling in, reading the chapters in the books, because you'll be able to hear how you talk, and that's more impactful. Or at least I think it is, right? Like I hear you telling the story. I was like, oh, I remember this story. This was great, right? And it relates back to a life lesson, so on and so forth. So one of them was, you know, I think chapter two was Create Your Own Map. Or was it chapter one that was Create Your Own Map? I read it 3 times. I don't remember.
Chapter one's Create Your Own Map. That's correct.
Okay. So yeah, there's some good tidbits in there. And then they have some questions at the end that allows you to think and reflect back on kind of where you're at and what you're doing. So it's almost like a little bit of a workshop, which I really appreciated too.
Good. Yeah, that's the goal. The goal is to give some folks out there reading it, listening, when the audio book comes out and the book comes out. They both come out sometime in hopefully July. But it's to give them a guideline of, you know, I try to be as relatable as possible, sharing real stories, you know, with people that have had to deal with adversity or some kind of issue or obstacle, and just showing people that they choose, like Create Your Maps, choosing your own destiny and don't let anyone make it for you. And so I tell a story where, you know, my mother-in-law at the time was just my girlfriend's mom, was trying to give our daughter up for adoption and wouldn't let me come into the hospital to see her be born. And so there was a moment in there that I just decided to take the matter into my own hands and went and got an attorney and sued for joint custody. And that fight, and my, you know, it was the rebirth of who I was going to be. And it was the birth of my daughter on the same day. And, you know, that reflection came from the time I won the EY award. And I was sitting there looking out after I won it that night and celebrating, like, how the fuck did I get here? Like, what did I do in my life to get here? And so I started to reflect. And I think it's important that you go down memory lane a lot and reflect of who you are and how you got there, because it makes you sharp. It makes you realize that you are tougher than you think, that you are built for this, that, you know, you have a destiny and it's yours to pick. And really, that's what this episode will be about, is make your own map. You know, where people on, you know, that are listening, John, and I know you, me, everyone we know, they've faced tragedies and difficulties, and they've got to recover from them. And they got to allow anxieties and fears to be in control and not hold them back. And, you know, or maybe the problem is they have no real life skills, and they, or they think they don't have real life skills and things that, that got to get over it. And so, you know, that's all usually the problems where it starts and you get in your own head and then your map starts to change. You agree?
I do. And the one thing you said that reminded me of the chapter was there was a pivotal moment in your life. That was when Hannah was born, and you had like a huge fork in the road, right? Like you had to take action at that moment to do something to keep her in your life. And when you did that and accomplished it and succeeded, you know, that was a pivotal moment. And then there's questions at the end, like I said, that allows you to reflect on some of the things that we've done in our own personal lives to take control. And I just got thinking about all the small things in life, right? Like I know you, I've seen you interact, and you certainly march to the beat of your own drum. A lot of folks don't. Like, they've had parents tell them exactly what they need to do and when they need to do it. They've had teachers do the same thing, and coaches, and so on and so forth. And that kind of morphs them into this individual that's always just taking direction. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a skill to be able to take direction and apply it. But there are times in our life, and this is what made me think when I read the chapter, that you can just say, no, I'm not doing that. And I'm going to go this direction because this is exactly what I feel is right and correct for me and my family and my life. And I'm going to put massive action behind it, and I'm going to succeed doing it. So that was super cool. And it does make you think back to so many things. Like, man, like, I could have been a little bit more disruptive in that moment, and things would have been different.
No, you're right. I think taking direction is a good skill set. And I think sometimes I take okay direction, right?
But,
I went to five high schools. Okay. A lot of it was because I failed to listen to teachers, right? Not that I was a bad kid, but I felt like, you know, hey, I kind of want to beat to my own drum, I guess, but you know, everybody's different. And I think that when you hit those pivotal moments, that's really where you have to be confident enough in your decision and know that it's yours to make, that nobody can control, nobody can control what it is you're going to do with your life. Nobody. They can tell you, hey, son, daughter, you're going to go to school, and then you're going to go to college, and then you're going to be a lawyer, you're going to be a doctor. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if that's not what you want to do, you shouldn't fucking do it. This is your life, and you don't get to rewind. You don't get a playback. You don't get to do any of that. When you're done, you're done. And too many times, I know I'm guilty of it, where I do shit, I'm like, damn it, I really didn't want to do that, but I settled, or I allowed that to control me. Like, I don't create my own map every time in life. I'm a human being. I make mistakes. I get manipulated. I get bought into some other shit that I don't want to do. And I'm like, all right, I feel guilty. But I have to remind myself time and time again, like, listen, this is my life. If I don't want to do that, I don't have to. If I don't want to be friends with somebody, I don't have to. If I don't want to have a relationship with someone I'm related to, I mean, I'll get personal here. I mean, I remember my parents when I was a kid. My mom didn't know her real dad till she was 30. Found out she was adopted at 11 from her stepdad, and her real mom had her, but she did, her mom wasn't a good mom. And so she lived with her grandma. Same thing with my wife. She had the same problem. Her mom was not a good mom, right? But my wife's story is really dark. She's writing a book, and her story is as dark as it gets. You know, rejection, forced to have an abortion, you know, mom not wanting you, you know, shipping you out, you know, telling you she's going to give you your daughter up for adoption. I mean, that's the shit me and her had to deal with her family. And so, you know, it's hard. And, you know, I've had battles with my family. I watched my parents, we lived in Arizona. I told you my mom didn't meet her dad till she was 30, know who he was. And then her mom, my grandma, my mom's mom, never reached out and talked to us kids. So my mom was like, F that. I'm not spending, she has nothing to do with them. Then she doesn't make an effort, she's done. And so I saw at an early age that sometimes you're not going to be close to family. And we weren't. We moved to North Carolina, and they repaired the relationship, and that was great. But, you know, I went through some battles with my parents, not only Liz's family, but my parents being disrespectful to my wife early on and disrespectful to me and not paying attention to our circle. And I always say my parents are better grandparents than they were parents. They weren't bad parents. I don't regret anything because they taught me how to work hard. They taught me how to never quit. There's a lot of good things, but there was also some bad things. And all of us are guilty of that, right? We all have good and bad. And some of the bad things were, you know, a lot of, you know, they thought when I got married and I had a kid, like I was still part of their family. You know what I'm talking about, John? Like I'm part of their circle still. Like they're still my boss. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like when you first move out, did you experience that at all ever in your life where your parents?
Well, yeah, that's, go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I was going through, right? I was sitting there and I, you know, they're like, this is what you're going to do. And this is how you feed your kid. And this is, it's like, what? And I had to battle through that. Like, no. And it took, my mom was pretty disrespectful to my wife and shoulder checked her when she was pregnant. I mean, it was a problem. My wife lost it. And so we didn't talk to my parents for almost a year. I put my foot down. And that was one of the hardest years of my life. And my parents like, you're not going to let me see my grandkids. And I had to set them straight. And I truly believe this. For the listeners and viewers out here, you can think I'm an asshole or you can agree with me. But a lot of people listening right now can relate to what I'm saying. Just because you're blood related does not entitle you to shit. That doesn't entitle you to be their mom, their grandpa. That doesn't entitle them to see your kids. That doesn't entitle them to shit. A relationship is mutual. It is beneficial for both parties. It is caring. It is being helpful. It's respecting each other's circle. It's being there to pick up the pieces. Just because someone's blood related does not entitle them to having a relationship, even though they're disrespecting the rest of your circle. That's abuse and it's manipulation. And I don't believe in it. And so I had to realize that, you know, almost 30 damn years old, figured out like, damn, my parents are bossing us around and disrespectful to my wife. Like I had to deal with that, you know, and her mom's shit. I mean, you name it. And so we started going to church and I became a born again Christian in 2011, had the whole kids baptized, and we renewed our vows. But I saw other fathers and husbands having more control of their family than I did. And so I brought God into my life and I started to change. And you know, promote Christianity to everybody. I don't like the, hey, here's what it is. I'm not that person that stuffs it down people's throat. But obviously I am a Christian. I do believe in God. And I believe that God wouldn't appreciate your own parents, your own brother and sister, your own cousin, your own aunt, your own uncle, your own grandparents verbally or physically abusing you and thinking that that's okay. That just doesn't work. And, you know, they say that you marry your wife and then you cut the string from your parents. It says that in the Bible. And so my point is it took me till I was 30 years old to figure out that this is my life. And I had to tell my parents, just like I told my wife's mom when we got married, you're going to start respecting me and her and our daughter, or you won't have shit to do with us ever again. They'll be done. You nothing. So this is how it's going to be. And things changed. And I was 20 years old saying that. And it was tough for someone who hated me and treated me and my family like crap. Well, fast forward, I'm almost 30 years old dealing with my parents' crap. I had to tell them, and that's why we didn't talk for a year. If you don't respect our entire circle, me, my wife, and my kids and our rules, you don't get to play in the game. This is my circle. My family is my wife and kids. My extended family is you guys. That doesn't entitle you to shit. And they used to think, well, I'm their grandma. I can see them. No, you get to see them if we allow you to see them. It's a privilege because we have mutual respect. What do you think about what I'm saying?
You felt that when I was reading that chapter, that was felt, right? Because I think every parent goes through that. And that's probably one of the hardest times. You've always listened to your mom and dad. And then you have your own child. And now your mom and dad still want to continue to tell you kind of how to live your life and operate your baby or kids or whatever.
And I have Hannah who has a kid. So I see myself doing that sometimes. And I have to back up and go, hold on. That's her family. I can't tell them what to do. So I remind myself because I saw what I went through. Go ahead.
Yeah. And it's tough, right? And there's always those little altercations in every new parents, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Your mom or dad or your in-laws will kind of have these little comments on how you should operate. And it takes, especially at 20, it takes someone a lot of guts to stand up and like, hey, look, this is how it's going to be. And how you want to finesse that conversation is completely up to you. But you had to take a pretty bold stance and be like, look, like, this is how it's going to work. And if you guys can't understand that, then we've got to go our separate ways. And I think it's all worked out up to this point. But man, it's that's an intense moment. And I think every new parent can certainly understand exactly. But there's other small things in life, too, that I started thinking about where, you know, people, you know, tell you what to do or what you can and can't do. And you just kind of you go with it. Instead of like actually thinking through, like, does this make sense for me? Should I be doing this? I don't have to. Mm-hmm.
They build doubt. You know, that's what happens. You get naysayers, you get haters, you get those people that are jealous that don't think you can do it. And they don't believe in you. And none of that's true. You get to control that, whether you want to open a business or go to a school or apply for a job.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the thing that listeners can hang on to, we say, at least you say, you know, creating your own map all the time. And in the book, you gave examples about, you know, just driving and, you know, losing service. And if you do, you don't just stop. You make a decision and you go. And that's the one thing that I've learned from you the most is like, just decide. Stop standing still and stop like overanalyzing. Just decide and go. And you'll figure out quicker whether it was a good or bad decision. You can pivot. You can change direction. And you'll learn more from that than just thinking it through and trying to make the perfect decision.
No, you're right. You're right. So I've got actionable items here, tips. We'll do this back and forth, right? So I'll read one and then you kind of tell me some advice or to tell listeners some advice on that. And then then I'll do the next one. So the first one is live on your own terms. What does that make you think of when I say that? Live on your own terms. This is an actionable tip for creating your own map.
Well, I think it's a lot of what we just, you know, spoke about, living on your own terms. I think it's based off of your experience to date, making the best decision for yourself and what feels the best. You know, if there's something that doesn't feel right, then you can certainly be hesitant and absolutely you can say no. I think a lot of times we have a hard time saying no. And it's from just how we're brought up. You know, I was brought up to say, you know, respect your elders, respect your teachers, respect. Well, what if your coach or your teacher is telling you to do something that you don't want to do? And that gets into some serious stuff too, right? So your kids having the ability to say no, as much as we don't like to hear it as parents, that's a good skill to have. And, you know, I still say it to this day, you don't disobey me, you don't say no, but they are living on their own terms. And somehow we've got to manifest that inside of them to be like, hey, like, if it doesn't feel right, you should not be doing it. But like, understand your intuition on something like that and go with your gut if you have to.
I like that. I like that. What about, here's the one for me. Don't cheat your way to success. And that goes back to my normal thing of there's no elevator in life, baby. You got to take the steps. Anytime you cheat, it comes back to get you. Anytime you take a shortcut and it's easy, it haunts you because you didn't gain skill set, strength, knowledge, wisdom to really take it to the next level. So don't cheat your way to success in creating your own map means don't take the easy way out. Don't look to cheat something. You know, I have it in the book and I still love your comment. Cow runs away from the storm. Buffalo runs right the fuck through it, right? That's what you said. You didn't say the F-bomb. I threw that in there to give it some power. But look, I love that. That's one of the best things I've ever heard. And so I even told my son that the other day on the way to school. I'm like, you know, listen, one thing John told me on one of the shows, and I put it in the book, is, you know, you can either be cattle or you can be a buffalo, man. And, you know, you either run from a problem, you know, you run from the storm and the problem just haunts you. You try to take the easy way out, it's going to come get you. It's going to bite you in the butt. Or you run right through it and take it head on. Get through it quick. Get stronger because of it. And that's what I think. Don't cheat your way to success is a good tip on that. Now, the next one I got for you is understand you always have a choice. Go ahead.
Well, you do. In the smallest decisions in the world, you always have a choice. And I think exercising that choice is impactful to how you develop as a human being. Try to say no sometimes and influence maybe the other party of what they're trying to get you to do. You know, those are little things that you can hang on to throughout life that help develop into something bigger where a big decision comes along where you might have to go the other direction. And you always have a choice on which way you want to go. But one, most importantly, choose. And then next, put massive action behind it.
I like it. That's good. Go all in for me. That means don't try to have a plan B. You have a plan B, that's what losers do. Losers have a plan B, okay? They live by, well, if that doesn't work, I'm going to do this. Well, then you're not all in on something. Stick both feet in. Don't just half-ass do it. Go all in, bet on yourself. Doesn't work, then make your own damn plan B. Or you said, pivot and go. But the moment you're wasting looking at a plan B, thinking about a plan B, envisioning a plan B, you know, researching a plan B, you're wasting energy and effort in your own plan A. You should only be a plan A person. Then when shit hits the fan, pivot and go. Because the moment, this is my belief, the moment you try to put something as secondary there, you're done. You're spending too much energy there. You're flip-flopping, what should I have done? Goes back to, you know, you have to make a choice, and you mentioned it earlier, it's hard for people to make decisions. Not having a plan B makes it easy. So I like that, go all in. This one's for you. Let failure motivate you.
Yeah, this was a tough one for me. I don't like to fail, and because I don't like to fail, sometimes I shy away from setting myself up for failure. And I think a lot of people do, right? Like they don't do something because they can't do it or they're going to fail. Could be the smallest thing in the world, you know, shooting a basket in front of a few people or making a career change, right? What if I fail? Well, who cares? You're going to gain a ton of experience. So kind of goes back to the buffalo story, right? Like there's this challenge, there's this restriction, there's this storm in front of you, and it could be failure. But if you just think a little differently and take it head on and commit to your last point, that's one of the biggest things I've learned from you as well, is like, you don't look back after you make a decision. You're like full on 100% down that road and until you have to pivot, right? But you're always 100% committed, which is something that I appreciate. And on this one, it's the same thing. Failure it's always going to be there. And you gave a good point in the book. I'll give it away. I think there was an 80-20 rule in there on, you know, if it feels 20% uncomfortable, that's a good thing. Like you should live in that appropriate zone of pressure, like that 20% of uncomfortableness. Like those are the decisions you want to keep making in your life because it keeps you active and engaged and intense.
Yeah. And I look at failures as learning lessons, right? We get better from learning, and failing, we learn something, what not to do, right? What can I do better and what shouldn't I do? The next one for me is use haters as fuel, man. So I got something special for you. So I had two shirts made, True Underdog shirts coming, right? One of them says, love your haters on the front, and then the True Underdog BAM on the back. So I've got some coming. They've given you some too for you and Sarah. You got to love it. Love your haters. Like, I love that.
Love it.
Isn't that great? The other one is scared money don't make money, right? So you got that on the front and the back. Those are like two chapters that I have in the book, but those are like my two favorite things that excite me the most. Using haters as fuel, I am nowhere near perfect. I mean, I'm sometimes insensitive. I'm not very compassionate. You know, I'm my emotions are usually like I'm fucking on, or I'm angry, right? So, you know, that's it. Like, that's just how I go 1, 2, fuck you. That's it. Let's go. So I don't have gears. I'm working on developing gears, and I've gotten a little better, but I'll own that. But one thing I fucking love is haters. I love when they talk shit. I love when they run their mouth. I love when they post shit. I love when they're watching me, but they don't want to like my shit. I love when they're talking to people like, you know, that guy, I fucking love it. Because guess why? And you know why I talk about it. They're watching me while I'm watching me, which just my shit just keeps getting quicker and quicker. And they're slowing the fuck down, which allows me to continue to win the race. And life, friends, is a race. And you either got people that can encourage you and be with you and want to win with you, and they want to win and you're excited for, and you got people on the sidelines trying to bring you down. They hate life and it's your fault. They're not successful and it's your fault. And your success is their misery and vice versa. Like, that is the bullshit nonsense that when they do that, I'm like, get your popcorn, get your Pepsi, get your fucking licorice. Watch, I'm going to give you a show. We're going to have a good time. I get excited about use haters as fuel. Now, I don't change my game plan for haters. I don't give them that kind of power. So let's not get this twisted. I don't go, oh, they say I can't. Well, fuck that. I'm changing my life and I'm doing this. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when I went to open a home security business and my own family and my extended family and my friends and in-laws and you fucking name it, no way it'll be successful. Well, I was already planning on doing it. Now you just gave me more fuel to fucking make sure it's successful so I can go, hey, you like them fucking apples, right? I like doing that. That makes me feel good, okay? Same thing when I opened a solar business. I had my peers, I had other companies running their mouth, talking shit, friends, ex-business partners. I mean, you name it, the list goes on. It's like they're talking shit. It's like, hold on, I'm doing this anyways, but you know what? Now you just gave me a little extra oomph to make sure I do it and go, hey, what's going on? And I don't like have to float and showboat and go look at me to them, but I make sure that they see a little something, something. Right? Yeah, a little something, something. Just to make them sleep a little shittier on the weekend and get a little bit more excited. Maybe they'll better their life. But the best thing you can do on haters, turn them into fans. Right? When they go, hey, how do I do that? What can I do? You just won. They just became a hater. Now you got to find new haters. They just became a fan and it's okay. Work with it. I love, use haters as fuel. Here's one for you. Surround yourself with a reliable team.
I think... Yeah, I mean, that is something that I feel like I thrive on. I think that's a really key point in the book, really just how people are. I think you had mentioned that people are just the most important piece and building blocks and quite honestly, asset to any business. I think it's important to have the skill of being a good teammate. I think teammates are honest and get fired up with one another. I mean, you see it publicly on TV all the time. I think in the locker room, they can have a real conversation on maybe what happened out on the floor or out on the field. So I think it's important to be able to be a good teammate and develop new teammates and recruit new teammates. So I think it's extremely important and there's a lot of value there. I believe, certainly that nothing great can get done without having really strong team relationships. And, that's something it's a key point that, it certainly reminded me when reading the chapters.
Yeah. Team is the Avengers do better than a superhero. You need a great team. All right. So we're going to wrap this up, John, with a summary. And the bottom line is the path to success can be difficult when you allow fear to prevent you from getting there. You have to be able to move past your anxieties. You have to be able to be in control and you need to practice patience. That's key. You get to live on your own terms as long as you put in the work. And when you understand you always have a choice, you then can go all in. So use your failure and haters as motivation to be better. Surround yourself with supportive people. Appreciate any wins that you get and aim to be fulfilled. And that, my friends, is a wrap here on Underdog Bites. Create your own map. John, anything else?
That's it.
Bam! And that concludes another episode here on True Underdog. If you're interested in hearing more, make sure you subscribe at iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the YouTube channel. You can always visit trueunderdog.com, subscribe to all of them. Make sure you check out our newest episodes coming out on Mondays and Thursdays. True Underdog, baby.
Bam! True Underdog. Bam! Bam! Bam.